and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast, Injured List Edition. Not the team, me. I'm recovering from a cold. We've delayed it. We've delayed the episode as long as we can delay it. I'm going, even though I'm... this will be my flu game episode.
Yeah, and the funny part is, like, this episode is essentially... It was almost going to be role reversal flipped in that I took, like, last week off. And I watched maybe, like, the games in the first half of the week. But I caught, like, none of the Giants series. So, like, usually it's me catching you up. And then, like, now it was going to be you catching me up. But, like, we're recording now, like, as the Dodgers are playing the third game or the fourth game in 3 days of their series at Coors Field. So, like, there's been enough baseball where I've actually seen. So it's a little bit different. But, yeah.
Cool. It's going to be actually the same. Well, you'll be catching me up as I've seen, I think, maybe an inning of baseball in the past week. I have done so much sleeping. That's the thing. It's like when you're sick and you sleep, it's not actually, I wake up and every time I would feel a little healthier, but not at all more rested. So
no, it's very much needed, but also like, yeah, it's still annoying.
You don't get the sense of satisfaction, but the Dodgers have the sense of satisfaction knowing they're in the number two seed. They have a bye. We're going to catch everybody up over the last week and a half or so, and then look a little bit ahead to the playoffs.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
All right. So. As noted, playoffs are coming. Mm-hmm. As noted many times on this podcast, for someone who does not like stressful playoff baseball that much, with one exception, when my team's not involved. The wild card series are going to be great. So much
watching
stakes
no
that
stakes,
I don't care about.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times in the playoff matchup, kind of have like a like the dot in this case it would be the Brewers versus whoever the sixth seed is. I don't think I'm gonna care though. Whoever, like, sure, you know.
Yeah. Did you know as we're recording this, the Padres are still technically alive?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's funny because I guess the last time we recorded there was one Padres dysfunctional culture piece out already. That was from the Union Tribune, like centering about how there's a leadership void in the clubhouse and all these problems. Why are they terrible? And then like a few days later in The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal and Dennis Lynn wrote one, a very similar piece, but more focused. Say the Union Tribune piece was heavily Manny Machado focused, but also fair, like, and included, like, input from Machado, so it wasn't like a hit piece or anything. The Athletic one was more on AJ Preller, and so, like, all these, like, why are the Padres so terrible, and why do they need to start over, and all this kind of stuff, and then meanwhile they're like on fire in September. It's just like, but also like they but it seemed like for now it still kind of is, but as we're recording this, so that sixth wild card spot seems like no one wants it, like and that's the team that's going to play the Brewers. So Cubs, Marlins are the two main combatants there. The Reds are still alive.
I picked the Reds, so I'm all on board. They're going to make this epic ascent.
So there's a scenario. As we're recording this, the Marlins are actually ahead. So by the time we're done recording, the Padres might be eliminated. But heading into Thursday, it was Padres needed to sweep their three-game series. I believe they're playing the White Sox. The Marlins needed to lose all four. The Cubs needed to lose all four. They are losing to the Braves tonight. I forgot who they play this weekend. It doesn't really matter. Just whatever. But then, and also the Reds need to win one of their three. Exactly one. Because I believe how the Padres would get in is a four-team tie at 82-80. They would somehow win that tiebreaker. So I love chaos. That would be kind of amazing. But, like, it's obviously not going to happen, but it could happen. And so, like, but that's a long preamble to say. I had sort of, like, last week in my head, I just, like, had mentally prepared, like, oh, we're just going to do, like, let's pick the playoff roster for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking, I was like, oh, there's no decisions. Like, you know, like, it's kind of, there kind of is, but, like, we'll get to it. But, you know, the two sort of, I guess, injured relievers who, like, could be back at some point are, like, Daniel Hudson is, like, he's in this weird, I might retire, but I'm also trying to, like, you know, come back. And he has an club option for next year, like, all this kind of stuff. Dave Roberts told reporters last week, the earliest Hudson would return from the 60-day IL, he has the sprained MCL, and the other knee that he tore his ACL last year, is the NLCS. Similar, like, I believe it was maybe a day or two earlier where Robert said if Yency Almonte comes back from his right knee sprain, it would be NLCS. So at the earliest, so August 12th is the last time he pitched Almonte. So I think those are probably still long shots, but, like, I'm looking at the active roster. So Ryan Yarbrough is starting on the game we're, like, sort of watching, and he and Coors Field do not match. I would say. But that's fine. Luckily, the Dodgers won't be playing any postseason games at Coors Field, so it's probably fine. But I sort of lumped the pitchers. Like, right now, there's 14 pitchers and 14 position players on the active roster. For the playoffs, it's going to be 13-13, or it's going to be 26. I mean, I would bet a lot of money they're going 13-13 because the way we've talked about this, the way they don't have, like, a horse starter outside of maybe Bobby Miller. And so I think there's going to be so much mixing and matching that they almost can't even get away with having, like, 12 pitchers. So, but so, like, I sort of grouped them together, starting-ish pitchers. You got Bobby Miller, Kershaw. Roberts has already said they are starting the first two games of the NLDS. He hasn't said which order. The funny part is Kershaw has pitched the last two Saturdays. He's pitching this Saturday. And if he pitches game one, it would be a fourth straight Saturday. So that's kind of funny. And then Ryan Pepiot, who has pitched, like, better than anyone among the Dodger starters. Lance Lynn, whose, like, biggest, like, plus is that he eats innings. They're not going to rely on him to eat innings in the playoffs, you know. He also leads majors in home runs. It's a weird thing. And then Emmett Sheehan, who was kind of off the radar. I mean, he was in the minors in August, and then comes back in September, and he's been great, like, recently. And then the aforementioned Yarbrough, but he's more of the, like, piggyback kind of guy, like, you know, but bulk guy. So those are six guys. The known relievers, Evan Phillips, Bruisdar Gratterall, Ryan Brazier. I believe this is one of those where I sort of saw the questions from Craig, but I just more copy and paste, but there's a Ryan Brazier thing in there somewhere, I think. Joe Kelly, because, you know, Joe Kelly, and to antagonize Craig Goldstein somehow. Caleb Ferguson, Alex Vesia as the two short reliever lefties. And then it's like Shelby Miller and then Michael Grove, who started earlier this season, but is now like more of the relief guy. So I guess the only real decision would be like how much do they want Michael Grove on? Like,
mm-hmm.
because, and then he's not like, I think it, Sheehan is the one you would think like he might replace, like if they just want a short reliever, but I think Sheehan has been so good that there's almost no way. I guess Shelby Miller is maybe the low man on the totem pole of the relievers, or like, because they're not going to carry, are they just going to carry one lefty out of Ferguson and Vesia? Like, that would be the other thing. Like, I just don't know if they would do that. So, like, I think Grove's a long shot. Grove's probably the odd man out. Like, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, or have you thought about it at all?
We would be remiss if we didn't, as I think Dodgers Twitter would have me do, bring up the possibility of Kyle Hurt making this roster.
Sure. I will say 50% strikeout rate. He's two perfect innings, three strikeouts. So, like, he's – and he struck out eight for Oklahoma City in game one of their PCL championship. They swept that series. Gavin Stone struck out 10 in game two. Speaking of being remiss, Gavin Stone in that group of, like, if they need a guy, you know, like, or whatever. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So – because of our stellar track record historically on making these predictions, Kyle Hurt's making this roster. So,
okay. Wow. That's you're calling it.
Absolutely. You swore it off. So,
I think the general rule is the harder I scoff, the more right you are. So, like, yeah. Man, that would be kind of amazing. I mean, it would be hilarious and great if he does it. Because, like, if you look at, like, as we record this, right, it's the Dodgers played four games at Coors Field. The first three of which were started by rookies, and each rookie set a career high in strikeouts in that game. Pepio struck out nine in the first game of the doubleheader Tuesday. Bobby Miller struck out nine in seven innings in the nightcap. And then yesterday, Emmett Sheehan struck out 10. And he struck out nine last week. And so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's been wonderful. It's, you know, like, I think after the division celebration, Andrew Friedman mentioned big boy stuff, you know, like, and that's what you're going. And Kyle Hurt is in that big boy stuff group. So, like, it would be kind of amazing. From that perspective, but, like, yeah, I don't know. The position player side, I think, is even more set. It's technically possible, like, Colton Wong makes the roster, but he's been how he's been used has been the extra guy so far. I looked at like you could see, like, David Peralta has been kind of bad, like, for, you know, a while now. Mm-hmm. I think, but also I believe this week, Roberts has mentioned multiple times, though, he's going to start. Like, he hasn't come out and explicitly said it, but, like, I think he's still going to start against righties. Like, so, like, I don't think that's going away. But I looked, I in our notes, I put, like, sort of how the September starts have gone. And basically everyone has started 10 games. Austin Barnes had nine, but he's starting the Thursday game. So he's at 10. And then Colton Wong has started four. So, like, it's like, everyone else distributed, and Colt Wong's like occasional guy, like, at the, you know, at the bottom. So, like, I mean, he's going to be around, like, if something happens, like, they would you know, put him in. But like, I don't know. I think that's the way to go.
Well, as I mentioned, I didn't watch a lot of baseball, which is, again, like, for someone who doesn't really like playoff baseball, I got to get it in. I've only got three games left.
You got to get these unimportant. Yeah, because also the Dodgers are.
Oh, go ahead. You might be saying what I was going to say.
The Dodgers are locked in as the two seed.
Right.
So,
and
like,
the Giants have nothing to play for. So this is going to be beautiful, meaningless baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be the, we're just getting in work, boys. And then, and plus, they're like picking off milestones like here and there, like as we're recording. Well, I'll get to those in a little bit because that's part of the trivia. Uh-oh. But so you did you watch? My thing is, I watch very little of the four game Giant series. My uncle turned 80. I'm Uncle Lynn. Had a nice party for him. Was like mini family reunion. Like four solid days of like just great fun, great conversation. And I was like, occasionally, oh, okay, peeking over the Dodger game, like see a little bit of this, see a little bit, but very little attentive watching of those games. Like,
yeah,
did you watch any of that?
When it was on, but for the most part, I've been crying myself to sleep because I'm sick taking care of some family stuff. So,
that gets it. So, the one thing being off last week, I did miss a lot of milestones, or at least I like wasn't present for them, but like Freddie Freeman got 200 hits for the first time. He entered Thursday with 207. He's also, I didn't put it in the notes, but on Wednesday he passed Brett Butler for the most times on base in a season in LA Dodger history. I believe he's up to 294 now. The only Dodger with 300 was Babe Herman in like 1930. I think he was 311. So a crazy weekend could get Freeman there, but I don't know if it's going to happen. But, he's been excellent. He also got to 20 steals. He's the first Dodger, 2020 first baseman. He's up to 23 now. I believe he has a 7 steal lead over Chris Taylor. So, or unless Taylor might've stolen one tonight. So at minimum, he has a 6 steal lead, so that's happening. He'll be the first Dodgers first baseman to lead the team in steals since Jackie Robinson, of all people. That's fun. Freeman has the Dodgers extra base hit record at 88 in counting. That includes so he hit his 28th home run on Wednesday, and that got him over the 100 RBI mark. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But he also has 58 doubles, so still clinging for 60. No one's ever had a 30-60 season, so like a strong finish could get him that.
Take
as well.
Take that, Ronnie.
That's right. I sort of laugh at like the provincialism of a lot of the MVP stuff. I think I tweeted something like 30-60 still in play or whatever, and like David Vasse of Dodger Talk retweeted it or quote tweeted it with 30-60 greater than 40-70 in this game or what, you know, just like, all right, calm down. Like it's funny. Anyway. So Freeman has the 101 RBIs. Mookie Betts. He has he's up to 106 RBI as we're recording. That's the most ever out of the leadoff spot in one season. However, Ronald Acuna Jr., the aforementioned 40-70 player, just a crazy year, is up to 105. So like that they're actually like sort of like competing for that. Mookie Betts is one home run shy of 40. The Dodgers have never had a 40 homer, 40 double season, and Betts already has 40 doubles. So there hasn't been a MLB season with 40 homers and 40 doubles since 2015. So you never know. JD Martinez, a lot of the last month and a half, we've been talking about like, man, he's been hurt for a while. He was dealing with the hamstring and groin stuff that just was not working. And he was had to miss some time. And he missed some time like off and on before he went on the IL. But it was basically like a month and a half of like not a lot going on. He has been outstanding since returning. So he actually homered earlier Thursday before we recorded. He has 22 RBIs in 18 games since coming off the injured list. And he has 100 on the season after that two-run homer. He's only played in 110 games this year. That's wild. Mm-hmm. He's just like been super productive. So the Dodgers before this year in LA had never had three 100 RBI players. They now have four. Freeman, who I mentioned before, Mookie, which we just talked about, then Martinez. Max Muncy got there. He's up to, I believe, 104. And he got his 100th in the 11th, and he had the go-ahead run in the 11th inning when the Dodgers clinched in Seattle. So, yeah, like, so if you include the Brooklyn years, no Dodgers team has ever had 400 RBI players, but now they have. So, well, like,
that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was nothing I need to know beyond that.
Absolutely not. No, it not technically that. It's oh, okay. A slightly altered part of that. But, Clayton Kershaw, also the aforementioned Saturday starter. I believe he said if I saw one of the quotes right, where he said, I'm on the college plan or whatever. I'm a Saturday starter. That was pretty fun. He's pitched five scoreless innings against Giants on Saturday. Won his 210th game that passed Don Drysdale for second most wins in Dodgers history. We don't know if that was his last home regular season start. We'll find out later. So he's starting again this Saturday. If it is his last regular season start, it is kind of fitting that his last two would be against the Giants. Obviously, there's a playoff run to have here. But, back to those RBI folks. So Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, Freddie Freeman, J.D. Martinez, they all have 100 this year. And actually, if you look at the Braves are the team with the better offense than the Dodgers, but they don't have 400 RBI players, right? It doesn't happen. I mean, I don't know how often you would think it would happen. I can't really figure it out. But, like, there's only been two in the last 20 years in MLB, like, and the other one was the Blue Jays in 2021. So this is the first Dodger team with four 100 RBI players. It's also the first LA Dodger team with four 90 RBI players. So that's been pretty rare. But if you go back to Brooklyn, the Boys of Summer teams had four players with 90 RBIs in four different seasons. The last one was 1955. My original thought was to ask you to try to name the four players from 1955, but I'm gonna see if you could name four total of any of those groups. There's a lot of crossover, like a lot of players did it multiple times. So that's my question to you. How many of those 100 or 90 RBI Brooklyn folks can you name?
We'll see after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How many Boys of Summer, Brooklyn Dodger, 90 RBI names can I name?
So a few notes before you go on this. The years with the 490 players are 49, 51, 53, 55. So it was odd years. The only time they did it. In 53, they had 590 RBI players. The other years, they had four.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 154-game season, the equivalent of 100 RBIs now would be 95 then. If you retroactively go back, the 53 and 55 teams actually had four 95 RBI players. So, like, sort of the equivalent of 100, the four times 100 today. Just throwing it out there. But there, like you said, a lot of overlap. And let me just eyeball this here. Two players had 90 RBIs in all 4 years.
Okay.
There's more overlap too, but anyway, go ahead.
So there are some players that like are the Brooklyn players that I know come, but I don't know, and then end up actually being more of sort of 30s players, and then those that were actually more early 60s players, and then true boys of summer. So that's going to hurt me, I think, maybe trying to get to the fourth name.
But now I will give you another hint before you go. I would characterize these all as Brooklyn players, like all as like firm, not, I mean, some of them technically did play in Los Angeles, but I think these are firm, like very clearly Brooklyn guys. Yeah.
But you should, I will note that that's the thing that I forget. Like I always, you know, I think, oh yeah, they played some in LA or the opposite, and it wasn't true. But anyways.
And I also, saw earlier, there's actually three players that did it all 4 years.
Okay.
So.
Campy.
Okay, so yes, that counts. He's not one of the players who did it four
times. Not when you asked.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He did it three times, and he did it in his three MVP seasons, 51, 53, 55.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah,
Duke Snider?
Duke Snider for sure. He was over 100 in all – no, I'm sorry, 92 and 49. He did it all 4 years, though. He led the majors with 136 RBIs in 1955.
Jackie Robinson?
Jackie Robinson is on two of these lists, 49 and 53. I would have looked. I don't know if he ever actually got to 100. I'm looking that up. 124 RBIs in his MVP year of 49. And then in 53, he drove in 95.
Gil Hodges.
Gil Hodges would be the other go-to. He was definitely a four. He drove in 100 runs for seven straight years from 49 to 55.
There. I got you four. Tapping out. I'm not embarrassing myself anymore.
No, those I would like. You're never gonna go wrong with those four. Like they're all Hall of Famers. Like the four icons, I guess. The other, if you want to say icon, like Pee Wee Reese is not an RBI guy. Yeah. He was a leadoff guy. They were busy driving him in. So the other four timer there was Carl Furillo.
Come.
And the other, let's see, who else did we miss here? No, that's it. Actually, those five account for all of the seasons. So, like, Campanella did it three times, Robinson twice, then the others four each. So, yeah, that's a hell of a group.
Neat. So, I'm looking now to see some other stuff. So, it's only 9 o'clock. We actually started recording early, and I feel like it's 3 a.m. because I'm losing my head.
A real Matchbox 20 situation here.
It's time for
Questions from Craig.
JD Martinez was named NL Player of the Week on Monday. So here's some questions about Mondays. No, that relate to the Dodger slugging designated hitter. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. JD Martinez currently has 31 home runs. This was as of Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Currently has 31 home runs and 98 RBI as of Tuesday. He'll finish the season with less than 500 plate appearances. Since 1900, only five prior times has a player hit 30 or more home runs and driven in 90 or more runs in less than 500 plate appearances. J.D. Martinez has now done it twice. The last time was in 2017 when he played for both Detroit and Arizona. Can Eric name two of the other four players in eight guesses?
So, I just want to note, I haven't seen if the Dodgers took Martinez out of Thursday's game yet, but let's say he gets four or five at-bats tonight. He, with a 32 plate appearance weekend in San Francisco, he could still get to 500. So I'm not putting it past him. No. So this is in the majors, right? Yeah, the Dodgers clearly don't have enough 30, correct, 90 guys. Yeah. 30 and 98 is I'm trying to see how I back into this. let's go. Okay. So, I'm going to hit the strike here hard. Jeff Bagwell.
Correct.
Frank Thomas.
No,
he didn't get to 30. Okay.
Eight guesses is a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to give you eight guesses.
Probably too many. Yeah.
Craig's being too nice.
So, Matt Williams.
Nope.
He didn't get to 98. Oh, he had like 43 home runs at the end of the strike. Anyway.
There is one more 94 player on here.
I'm just... Albert Bell.
Albert Bell. You have two. So that was it.
Yeah. Oh.
You can keep going. I'll give you two more strikes.
Okay.
If you want to keep going, and I'll give you years if you want them, but I won't otherwise. I would literally hand you $100 if you get one of these players, even after I tell you the year, and probably even the team. I'll give $20 if I give you the team and year, and you get it right.
Just give me the earliest year before 94. It was like 37.
37.
Rudy York.
Oh, I owe you $20.
No, you
$100. $100.
So I will say the only reason I think I know that because
you cheated.
Well, no, I looked up JD Martinez stuff. Like I said, he's going to be.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's cheating. I'm not giving you any money. I'll give you a beer. How about that? That's fair.
That's fair. There's 500 RBI guys in '94. You know, when the strike started, I set the parameter of 113 games or less because Martinez, if he plays all three in San Francisco, will end with 113.
Yeah, if you named a career 31 WAR Detroit Tiger off the top of your head without previous research, I was gonna just.
I remember Rudy York as having, I believe he had the 20 home run month in June or something before Sammy Sosa or something, or maybe he had 18 and Sammy Sosa broke it. No, but the thing was, no one else had done it prior to '94.
Got it.
Except to 1937. That's why my brain went there. I did not look at any of the rest of the list. It was like, so that was like the one extra guy.
Do you want the year of the other player?
Sure.
2003.
What?
2003. There's one. There's one player you're missing
who did with 30 and 98. Or I mean, at least 30 and 98. Yeah.
Yes. So 2003 was the season this occurred.
Oh.
It's not Rudy York.
Is it Barry Bonds?
Javi Lopez.
Nice. Oh, okay. So I believe, so the reason I was said earlier about the Rudy York, the four 100 RBI teams in the last 20 years is because 2003 was the last one. The Braves did it, and he was one of the guys. So No, he didn't. He wasn't because he got to 98. So. Yeah, who knows? Man, they had a lot of offense if he had 98 and they had four other guys.
Rudy York never played for Brooklyn, which is upsetting. He would be great. Dodgers rewind. Following the same theme, besides Martinez, six other designated hitters have hit 25 or more home runs in less than 500 plate appearances. Can Eric name two of the six in seven guesses? That's still too many guesses.
Yeah.
You get three strikes.
Sure.
I'm looking at the list. Whew.
The problem is like
somehow Rudy York's on this list. It's really
weird. even though DH wasn't invented yet, he really prolonged his career. 25 home runs. So What about Greg Luzinski? The Dodgers did not take JD Martinez out. He just singled as we're recording this.
No.
Mm-hmm. Ron Kittle.
No.
Yeah, I am having trouble coming up with like Don Baylor.
No.
Yeah. You want to give me a year?
Sure. And maybe I'll 2021. Give you the team, Cleveland.
I don't think that's going to help.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I also thought there was no way you're getting York.
Is it Yandy Diaz?
It's Franmil Reyes.
That makes sense.
2018. Think you could get this one, especially if I give you the team.
Yeah, I have no...
Houston.
That's Evan Gattis?
Yep.
Yeah.
2010?
We have a team.
Twins?
2010 Twins. So, I'm trying to think of when... Was Justin Morneau hurt by then? No, because he probably still would have played. I'm just going to say Morneau. I have no idea.
Jim Thome?
Yeah.
1999?
No, I'm not doing this anymore.
Harold Baines, Chili Davis, Ken Phelps.
In 99?
Harold Baines, yes.
I, for some reason, memory hold that Harold Baines played that long. I did not realize he played, let alone Ken Phelps. I didn't think Ken Phelps played in 99. Holy crap.
No. Harold Baines in 99, Chili Davis in 94, Phelps in 87.
That is more of a timeline I can rock with. Yeah.
Ken Phelps last season was 1990.
Yeah.
JD Martinez is currently slugging at a 768 clip in September.
Through Tuesday, or entering Tuesday, yeah.
Driving in 20 runs this month has brought Martinez just a few shy of 100 for the season. Five other Dodgers in the Jacob era have slugged over 700 with a minimum of 60 plate appearances and driven in more than 20 runs in September/October. Can Eric name three of them in six guesses? You could name all six of these, I think. All five of them, excuse me.
I'm trying to think. He had 9 home runs in 20. I'm going to say James Loney because I know he had the big month, but I don't know if he slugged 768.
Yes. So 700 is what you're going for. He did not slug 768, but he did slug 709. So he's on the list.
He had 32.
I'll let you know, no one slugged 768 other than James.
Oh, that's Martinez. That was Martinez as of the other day. Or as of through first inning home run tonight. And this is the Jacob era. Manny Ramirez.
Manny hit 753 in 2008.
What a ridiculous year that was. I'm trying to think of like really strong finishes. The 700 club. What about Adrian Beltre?
Not Adrian Beltre.
Mm-hmm. Gary Sheffield.
Nope. I'm going to give you one more wrong guess.
Sure. Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza did it in 1997. 719 for what it's worth. Padding 406.
That was his 362 40 home run year that Larry Walker got MVP. I had briefly forgotten how we're defining Jacob era. I was like, is that too early?
Well,
like
wild card era. Wild card.
Yeah, 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 right.
I'll give you two remaining years, 2021 and 2014.
2014, boy. Um, Oh boy. Let's see. No, he got hurt. Is it Adrian Gonzalez?
It is Matt Kemp.
Oh, so if I remember right, I didn't guess Kemp because as the Dodgers were, like, I believe celebrating the winning the division in 2014, they said Matt Kemp has injured his knee or whatever, and it was like, or however it was, like, because he was hitting so great, but I couldn't remember when that injury actually happened. And so that was, anyway, and what was the other year? 2021?
Yes.
Man, this, all right, so you have post-shoulder Bellinger, obviously not. I'm just trying to think of, like, speaking of late injuries, Max Muncy hurt in his elbow. Albert Pujols did not drive in 20. Oh, boy. Why is this so difficult? I don't think he slugged 700. I am having a rough go here. Let's go. No, he struggled as well. He struggled as well. I have zero confidence in this, but let's just say Mookie Betts.
Corey Seager. Since 2013, five Dodgers, including J.D. Martinez, have had a 900 OPS or higher for minimum 400 plate appearances in their first season as a Dodger. Can Eric name the other four Dodgers in seven guesses?
Okay, since 2013. So I think, oh wait, this other person's first year was the next year. I don't remember if he got to 400, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Justin Turner.
He did not.
2014. Okay. So Hanley Ramirez was acquired in 2012, so he's out. 2013. Obviously, there's more. Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger in 2017.
So Seager debuted in 15, so he's out. Oh, 400 plate appearances. I don't think this other person I'm thinking of got to 900. Freddie Freeman,
2022.
Mookie Betts had the 60-game season.
You have two names to go.
Yeah. Let's think. Not Logan Forsythe. This is annoying. This compelling audio as well. I'm just trying to, like, wrap my head around it. Like, this is harder than I expected.
I get why. I understand the backstory. The fact that you rattle off Rudy York.
Right. And then, like, players I covered or whatever. It's like, yeah. It's the first year thing, because, like, you would think, like, Seager would be in there, but he debuted, right? Like, so. And then. So he was eased in. Oh, Max Muncy.
Max Muncy, one name remaining. And what, you know, it was in 2013.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to try to weasel my way backwards into this one. No. Who? Okay. Who? Why can't I remember? Oh, no. Okay, so that was not his. Oh, go ahead.
I know why you can't remember, and it's because you were adamant that this player would not play in 2013. Certainly as early as he did.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so this is not a hat-eating situation. We'll go with Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, there you go.
God.
Yeah. Whew, you started off hot with Frutti Jorgen. You all downhill.
Teeth, yeah.
Some pretty big teams are watching the postseason from home this year. Do you think a managerial change would make a difference for the Padres?
Still alive, Padres.
The Yankees or Red Sox going in the next year?
I never know. Like,
yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like the Red Sox are doing anything. I mean, they already made their change when they fired Chaim Bloom or whatever as president of baseball. And it was to the point where, like, they were like, well, is Alex Cora going to go in the front office? It's like, so they're pretty entrenched with him. I mean, I have no inside information, obviously, on the Yankees, but from afar, it seems like.
I would love that if you did.
Right. Yeah, I've been holding it out. Yeah. Aaron Boone has seemed like a dead man walking for a long time.
Yeah.
That almost has to happen. Now, I guess from the reporting, Ken Rosenthal has sort of been on this a little bit. There's like very clearly like a rift between AJ Preller and Bob Melvin, and like, you know, if the Padres are like, they're pretty high in Preller, but like, look at his tenure, like, right? They've had like two good seasons, or you know, like. Is Preller really your guy? You know,
yeah.
Not that Melvin's like some guy who's going to manage it forever because he's older, right? But like, okay, like you get rid of Melvin, then it's like just another manager under him. Like, I don't, maybe that's more of a like total overhaul. Like,
yeah.
But I don't think they're there either. So like, I think it might be like Melvin goes just because it's the easiest move or whatever, but. Yeah, I would say Boone probably gone, but who knows? Yeah.
That's the only one I'm confident. Well, not
yeah.
confident, but if I had to pick one, that's who I would
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Brewster Gratterall, my goodness, and Ryan Brazier will be important pieces of the Dodger postseason bullpen. They have been effective in the second half with a 0.34 and a 0.33 ERA in their appearances.
Slightly lower since he wrote this. Yeah.
Each allowing a single run thus far. What are your thoughts on this pairing given the off days in divisional series? It looks like they would be available for the first three games without any issue.
Yeah, I would expect... However the Dodgers define their A-team in the bullpen, which is very clearly like Phillips, Gratterall, Brazier, probably Ferguson. Like, it's weird because like Ferguson has very clearly been leverage guy. He's been like up and down, but also his numbers are still overall pretty good. He's also opened like a billion times, like seven. I think it's seven total. And he hasn't been like great. He hasn't had like a clean inning in any of the opener things. So I don't know if he's going to be, like, the opener guy. But, like, the NLDS starts Saturday, October 7th, and there's off day before game two, even though they're at home, and then off travel day before game three. And then so I would imagine their best relievers are going to be able to pitch three times in those four games, you know? So that's, like, I guess that could go back to, like, maybe they could get away with having 12 pitchers for the NLDS roster because of that. Because you don't necessarily need all the bulk guys. But are you really like?
Yeah,
oh man,
I feel like
we gotta have Colton Wong on this roster. You know, like he's not gonna play either. Like so,
and you, anything yeah. you can do to keep the arms. You know, put less
fresh.
Miles on the arms as
yes,
much as possible.
Because
yes. come the NLCS, should it happen, knock
well,
on
because,
wood.
But the thing there is, like, the thing to worry about for, I mean, obviously you got to get there. At LCS World Series, there's the three middle games, right?
Right.
And you just hope that Dave Roberts doesn't say yes when someone Brandon Morrow's him and says, I want to pitch in this game. Like, I want to pitch every single game. Like, no, you have to have a day off. Like, you know. If it gets to that, I don't see them. I don't necessarily see them having like a six appearance guy or whatever in a series, but you never know. But yeah, I think in the division series it's going to be a little weirder, just because of those off days.
Going into Tuesday's doubleheader at Colorado, the Dodgers have scored 869 runs in 155 games. Higher, both numbers higher since then. Since 1900, only once in 1953, when they scored 955 runs, has a Dodger team scored more than 900 runs in the regular season. The 2019 Dodgers have the highest total in LA with 886 runs scored.
The Dodgers have already passed that, by the way. They're 893 as we're recording this. But okay. Yeah.
For the contest, well, this year's Dodger team scored 900 or more runs, and for the tiebreaker, name the player that scores the 900th run and who drives in this run. Yes?
Oh, did he say scores or drives in?
Both.
Okay, so it's, I misspoke. It's 892 as of right now. There's still some time left in the Thursday game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely scoring 900. You want to say yours first?
Rosario.
Rosario scores or
drives it in.
Oh, a solo home run. Or yeah,
I mean, it could be. Yeah. Well,
no, it has to be. No.
Yeah, right. Because technically, he would be the last run scored.
As long as he's the last one, yeah. Has 900. Okay. So Rosario homer. All right, I think. I'm gonna go with Muncy driving in Mookie.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
No, I definitely went more chalk there. Feel bad.
The Dodgers finish their season in San Francisco. Well, I'm what? Guessing Jacob has never had clam chowder served in a sourdough bread bowl. You'd be wrong. More on that later.
In your face, Craig.
Well, I guess to be fair, I'm not 100% sure it was sourdough, and I'll explain why, because it was in San Francisco. All right. My question is about the famous bread from the city by the bay. Is sourdough bread one of your sandwich bread choices? And have you ever tried to make a loaf at home? I like yeasted. I like normal yeasted breads, not wildly fermented breads. A lot, and when I got into baking, yeast was readily available. So I've never tried. Melissa hates it. I don't mind it, but it's not like my favorite.
Yeah.
So I have a reason. That said, I did have New England clam chowder in Maine in a bread bowl. I assume it was sourdough, but maybe not. And it was chowder. I infamously don't like soups. Chowder is with chili in an exception. It's so meaty and thick that it's more of a sauce surrounding solid food than a liquid thing. So
chowder's great.
It's delicious.
The I am sourdough to me always seems more like it was made for garlic bread, you know, or like, I guess not always, because that's like you could get a French loaf of French bread or whatever. But sourdough's biggest selling point is the rigidity, or like has better, it holds up well. Like, you know, when you have like a hefty sandwich or like, you know, something that requires that, it's pretty good. I know, like, you know, you're going to get like that when you toast. You could have like really cheap bread of any kind. I think it holds up a little better sometimes as toast, like, than other breads. So there's that, but it's, like, I guess I don't buy enough bread to, like, I don't make enough sandwiches at home, I think, probably is the thing. So, like, I just don't carry sourdough bread a lot, you know, it's, like, more of a one-up. But occasionally, I will get, like, one of those, like, half loaves, like a bigger half loaf or whatever, and then just either, you know, get enough to make, like, a few sandwiches of stuff. And then maybe have a couple garlic bready things or whatever. It's a treat, sourdough bread. I'm trying to think. I've definitely had clam chowder in a bread bowl, and I think it's one of those where I assume it was sourdough. I'm pretty sure it was. And I'm trying to think if I've actually had it in San Francisco. Maybe. Honestly, I can't remember. But yeah, it's great, and I kind of want it right now.
So. Time to start driving. Maybe they'll be open by the time you get there. So
oh, to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's not that far of a drive. I can get there. Do they open at like 4 in the morning? Then we'll see. We'll find out. Yep. Yeah.
You report back. And you can watch the games. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Live coverage.
So I think what we're going to do is we'll have another episode early next week, sort of after, once the regular season is over. But we'll have more of a, we'll know at least the team the Brewers are playing, so we have a little bit more to go on. Mm-hmm. But then we'll talk about other stuff, like whether the Dodgers got to 100 wins or whatever, and other sort of things. I'm sure there'll be more stuff to talk about. But yeah, that's it for us. Thanks for listening to the 3-Inning Save podcast. I am Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. We are produced by Brian Salvatore, and we'll talk to you again next week.